our liturgical year this weekend, we've got a special feast, and it's one that we really need in our lives today because it is the feast of Christ the King. Christ, who came to proclaim the truth. And it is something that our world needs today very much because we are immersed in a cesspool of relativism in our world. But it is a strange feast for us because we don't recognize very many kingdoms around the world anymore. The ones that are there a lot of times tend to be kind of authoritarian and run with an iron fist. Many others are there. They're simply a figurehead, nothing more. We're more used to, especially as Americans, democracies and republics. But there's a problem with these as well, because a republic or a democracy can make one deaf to faith. We distrust any form of inequity, any form of privilege, any form of hierarchy. These are not bad things in and of themselves. They're bad if they're used for division, if they're used for suppression of a people. And that's what happens. But we just tend to reject them automatically. The modern democratic person is a sovereign individual. And this sovereign individual gathers together with other sovereign individuals. They create a government. And now the government is the one that dispenses rights. The government is the one that dispenses privileges. And it can dispense privileges to this group or to that group, withhold them from this group. And we forget about a creator. We forget about an almighty sovereign God who gave us life in the first place and who gives us inalienable rights for all persons. So we are given this solemnity of Christ the King to remind us who Christ is, to remind us who we are. The one King who will not disappear because He is the King of God's kingdom, Christ at its head. This feast in our church isn't a very old feast. It's one that only dates back to the mid-1920s when agnostic and atheistic governments seemingly were rising up throughout the world. Communism, the Bolsheviks, fascists, secularism, these and more, based on relativism. And so to offer a counterpoint, the church came up with or declared this new feast. They'd always celebrated Christ the King. They just didn't have a feast for Christ the King. It's a feast that speaks to the heart of who we are, one proposing an objective truth in the face of relativism. This remains an important feast for us because it helps us reflect, as I said, who we are and who Christ is. Back in the day when crucifixion was the norm for punishment from the Roman Empire, they would put a sign stating the crime of the person over their neck or on top of the crucifix so people would see it and they wouldn't want to do what that person had done. And so Pilate places Christ's crime, and we see it reflected over every one of our crucifixes, I-N-R-I. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That was His crime. That was what caused Pilate to put Him to death. But what would cause Him to put that on top of this cross? Only hours before, Pilate's asking Jesus, "Are you a king?" I believe it was an encounter with Jesus Christ, who is the truth, that led Pilate to do this. An encounter with the one who claims, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus tells Pilate, "I have come to testify to the truth." And Pilate's response, "What is truth?" Watching Jesus go through His passion, His death, unlike any that Pilate would have witnessed in all of those that he had been responsible for putting to death as the leader of the Romans in Jerusalem, he came to see that this was no ordinary man, that he had a certainty about him. He knew what he was about. He was in charge of the events, despite what it might have looked like and how he allowed them to unfold. Jesus indeed was a king, although not a king of this world. Pilate recognizes this in his encounter with Christ, and it is there for us to recognize when we encounter him as well. For all too often, our world, we just see this spirit of relativism. We're so immersed in it. We're told that there are no certainties. All depends on where you were born. Depends on how you were raised. But if this is our reality, then everything that we desire, everything that we hold, is gone. There is no true love, true joy, or true peace. If love cannot depend upon the language of truth, always and completely and in its entirety, then it is no more than a sifting sand. The foundation of love is gone, and all our love becomes seeking pleasure and seeking the moment again and again, because it's going to leave us empty and empty and more empty. The same is true of peace. If there is no firm bedrock of peace that we can seek, that we can stand upon, peace simply becomes an absence of war. It becomes the one who has the biggest army imposing it on another. But that is not peace. And joy follows suit, for true joy comes from the outside. We can experience terrible tragedies in our life, but we can still be filled with a sense of joy because joy comes to us. We don't create it. We know it and we experience it. But if we limit our joy to what I create in my own life, if I limit my joy so that I am the source, I am the judge, we destroy it. It has to be built upon the truth. So what kind of a king is Christ? And what impact does this have on my life? Look at the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have false gods before you. He doesn't say I'm a spiritual guide. He doesn't say that I'm some kind of a life coach. He doesn't say that I'm some kind that I'm elected, that you choose me to be your leader. He says, I have chosen you. He is God. I am the Lord your God. But how often do we trade him off for some trinket to place up there, to be our God, to be our idol? We can even trade him off for some very good and beautiful things. We can trade him for family or friendship. They can become the number one thing in our life. Work or power. Hunting. Shopping. Politics. Personal health or technology. All good and beautiful things. But they're not God. The list can go on and on. They can confuse us when our priorities get confused. And they can become idols. They can become the gods of our lives. In his book, The Promise, Cardinal Jean-Marie Lustiger, was the cardinal of Paris, France. He tells of another danger, one that comes up in modernity, and it is more dangerous than any of the others because it is very difficult for us to recognize. He writes that it is the power that we have given ourselves, that man has given over to himself by controlling our natural world. Our advancements in technology and in science feed our vanity. They lead to illusions of security that we don't need a Savior. We don't need God. We can take care of ourselves. We can offer God pious words, but not humble hearts. Lustiger states that placing a crucifix in a building, in a home, doesn't make that building holy. Putting a cross on a flag doesn't make that nation Christian. Christian faith requires a radical conversion, a deep commitment to the one true God. And unless the waters of our baptism immerse us, go deep and wash into our hearts and into our very souls, even self-described Christians from the very highest ranks of the bishops to the person sitting in a pew in a third world nation, they can become the very worst of frauds and idolaters. They can defigure Christ by their actions and their words, making their distortion into their God. Our feast today recalls our morality. Mortality. Mortality. We have a king that we serve, and it is not a king of this world. In the end, all things will be subjected to him. We did not create this king. We discover who he is. And in discovering who he is, we discover who we are. We recognize that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We celebrate this in each and every Eucharist that we celebrate. And as a result, we place Christ in the center of our hearts, in the center of our lives, and all that we have, all that we do, all that we are is centered on Christ, the King, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Bingo will be held this Monday in the Fellowship Hall at St. John's at 7 p.m. Sophomore confirmation class will meet this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall at St. John's. Script will be sold after Mass.
We ask that you keep repose of the soul of Bishop Robert Morlino in your prayers. He is the bishop of our neighboring diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. He had a heart attack on Wednesday and passed away this morning. So please keep the people of Madison and Bishop Morlino in your prayers.